The reading tonight comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month, the whole month of your community, or of your year, excuse me. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. And I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance." This is God's word. And my brothers and sisters, this very night, faithful followers of Judaism will celebrate the most important festival meal in the Jewish religion, Passover. And maybe you've heard of it. It's something that goes back 3,600 years, all the way back to the Exodus. Maybe you know the history. Joseph was Jacob's 11th and favorite son, but his brothers sold him into slavery in Egypt, but he makes it all the way to the top, and he actually saves Egypt and the whole ancient Near East from a terrible famine. Well, Joseph's brothers actually accidentally unite back with Joseph when they go into Egypt looking for food. They reconcile, and then his brothers, all 12 sons of Jacob, take their whole families from Canaan and bring them back into Egypt, and they stay in Goshen, which is somewhere in Egypt, and those 12 families become the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And they started to grow. And the Egyptians started to notice that this little pocket is starting to become a nation, and they didn't like that, and so they had to come up with ways to stop them from growing. So first they figured, well, we'll make them our slaves. They figured that, well, maybe if we make them work so hard that they're not going to have enough energy to make more people. Well, that didn't work, and so they had to go to plan B. And plan B was to take every single boy that was born and kill him. And so now God's people, the Israelites, are stuck in a foreign land, subject to making brick without straw and cities without mortar, and watching helplessly as their baby boys are torn from their arms and drowned in the Nile River. And God saw it. And so God raised a man named Moses to lead his people out of slavery into the promised land. But first, Egypt and her vicious, bloodthirsty king had to be brought to their knees. The ten plagues. The whole Nile River turned to blood so that the Egyptians would truly understand how much blood was literally on their hands for all the boys that they drowned in the Nile River. Plagues of locusts, frogs, darkness, all ways that God is telling the people of Egypt, your power, your gods, your technological advancements, nothing. But God saves the most horrible but the most just plague for last. You stole the sons of my people. Now I'm taking yours. But what's interesting is that Israel is not exempt from this plague. Their oldest sons are in danger as well. And so God institutes this Passover meal and tells each family that you need to slaughter a year-old lamb without blemish or defect. And then you are to collect its blood, and you are to paint this blood on your doorway. And the angel of death will pass over you. He will see the blood, and your boys will be spared. And on this night, as the Jewish families are around the table, and they see this roasted lamb on the table, they can hear the screams of horror from their Egyptian neighbors as their parents find their sons dead. And each oldest son of every Jewish family looks at that lamb on the table and knows, that should have been me. But in the midst of this horror, there is joy. There is thanksgiving. There is freedom. After 400 years of atrocity and infanticide and genocide and slavery, God's people are free. And so God commands them to celebrate this meal on the same day of the first month, year after year, in very specific ways, so that they never forget how they as a people started, and by God's grace. And out of this command from God, the Jewish people have developed some beautiful, rich traditions when it comes to the Passover meal. One of the most famous ones is that when they have this meal and they're all sitting together at the table, they actually have kind of a ritual dialogue, almost kind of a liturgy, between the father of the family and the oldest son. And it goes like this. The oldest son says, "Why is this night different than every other night?" And the father replies and says, "We were slaves. But God saw our oppression, and he set us free." And then the father goes through each element of the meal and explains it. This is the bread of our affliction. This is the wine of the promise. And this is the Passover lamb, whose blood set us free and saved us from the angel of death. And now we eat. And I know what you're thinking. Cool. Fascinating. Who cares? Well, you should care. Because how could you understand the meaning and the significance of the Last Supper on Maundy Thursday with Jesus and his disciples if you don't understand the meaning and the significance of the First Supper, the Passover? Because if you fast forward 1,400 years, during Jesus' day, the Old Testament period, faithful Jewish people still celebrated the Passover and went in Jerusalem and did this same stuff. And that's exactly what Jesus and his disciples were doing at the Last Supper. And just like the first Passover, this Passover celebration with Jesus and his disciples is surrounded by morbidity and pain. And Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' most trusted disciples, they trusted him with the money. Well, he had just agreed to hand over Jesus to his enemies for 30 silver coins, the price of a slave. Simon Peter, one of Jesus' closest friends, was hours away from swearing to God himself. I've never met him. I don't know the man. All because some little slave girl said, you have a funny accent like his. Do you know him? Every single one of his disciples who swore that they would never leave him would abandon him. As Jesus was about to suffer something so terrible, so painful, that it brought him to his knees in pure dread. This Passover meal was supposed to be a celebration of the freedom that God gave them and all the wonderful things God did for them as he brought them into the promised land. But Jesus has to break it to his disciples. One of you who dips his bread into the same bowl as me, the ultimate sign of friendship and unity, is going to betray me. And of course, all the disciples say, well, surely not me. It's not me, is it? Even Judas. Judas knows that Jesus knows exactly what he is about to do, and he does it anyway. And it is in the midst of this pain and horror that Jesus establishes his new covenant with his people. Jesus takes the role of the head of the household in this Passover dialogue, and he's explaining the elements of the meal, except he goes off track. And he says, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This isn't the bread of our affliction of the people in Israel, in Egypt. This is the bread of my affliction for you. And as you eat your Passover lamb, now you must eat the true Passover lamb whose blood saves you from the angel of death. Take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood of the new covenant which was poured out for you. I know who you are. You are betrayers, deniers, cowards, sinners. No amount of blood, animal or human, could ever save you from the wrath of God. Only I can. Only my blood can save you from the angel of death. Only my bondage can set you free. Only my death can give you life. Here is my covenant to you, my promise to you that I cannot and will not break. I choose you. I forgive you. I love you. You are mine. But in order for this to happen, I have to die. Blood must be spilt, and it can only be mine. Therefore, take and eat. Take and drink, for I am your Passover lamb, and now I go to save you from the angel of death. And my dear friends, Jesus knows you too. He knows about all the hatred that you have in your heart towards others. He knows about all the ways that you've slapped his bloody face. He knows about all the ways that you have purposely hurt people in your life, including him. He knows about your betrayal, not as well known, but just as selfish as Judas. He knows about your denial, not as well known, but just as cowardly as Peter. But just like Peter and Judas and the disciples, Jesus invites you to his table to find forgiveness. Jesus invites you to come to his table. He invites you to take and drink. Not because you deserve him, but because you need him. You need his forgiveness. You need his love. You need his compassion. You need his covenant promise that you are his, that you are saved, that you are accepted by him completely at no cost of your own, only because of what he has done. Therefore, come. Come to this table. And as you come, don't pretend to be something that you're not. As you come to the table, bring your sins, bring your flaws, bring your brokenness, bring your guilt, If you don't have any sins, if you don't have anything that you are deeply ashamed of, well, then don't come. Don't come. This isn't for you. This meal is for sinners and slaves who desperately need forgiveness and freedom. And as you come to this table, realize exactly what's going on. You are receiving the true body and the true blood of Christ himself in, with, and under the bread and wine. The bread and wine, it's not a symbol, and it doesn't turn into body and blood. It is in, with, and under the bread and wine. Both are present, and we don't even try to pretend that we can wrap our minds around it, but because the Lord of the universe says so, and because the Lord of the universe's word dictates reality, doesn't describe reality, dictates reality. Jesus' body and blood are truly present, and you can have every confidence as you come to this table and as you eat this bread and wine, you are taking the body and blood of Christ himself. You are eating and drinking your Passover lamb, and you are eating and drinking the true forgiveness of sins. Therefore, come. Come with repentance. Come with sorrow. Come with tears. And leave with joy. Leave with relief. Leave with comfort. Leave with peace. Your sins are forgiven. You know, I gotta think, after, 3,600 years of Jewish Passover Seder meals, you got to think at least one person would have had this thought in their mind, you know, this is like really cool and stuff, but how does the blood of a woolly quadruped save me from God's wrath? Like, why does God care about the blood of a lamb so much? Why was this such a big deal to him in the Old Testament? And the short answer is, it's not. Some people, maybe you're one of these people too, will often ask, well, why don't we celebrate the Passover? This is such a cool thing. Why don't we do that anymore? Well, because we have the real thing. We have the true Passover lamb. The original Passover lamb, his blood just covered the lives of the firstborn sons of Israel. The true Passover lamb, Christ's blood, covers the people, every single person who has ever lived, and every single sin that they have ever committed. And so as you come to this table, and as you come for forgiveness, remember that this very night, your brothers and sisters around the world, whom God has made his covenant with, are taking and eating the same body and blood that you are, and are receiving the same forgiveness that you are. That you are not only united with Christ in such a special way, but you are united with all the Christians in the world who are doing this. And as you come to this table, realize that you are receiving a taste, just a taste, of what you will experience in full in heaven as you sit at God's table and you feast with all the saints and angels in heaven in God's presence. But most importantly, as you come to this table, remember how sinful and how lost and how depraved you really are, but also how loved, how forgiven, how beautiful you are in God's eyes, and what he has done to make you his own. Take and eat, take and drink, and go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.